Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's no way around grief and loss. You can dodge all you want, but sooner or later you just have to go into it, through it, and hopefully come out the other side. The world you find there will never be the same as the world you left. Johnny Cash. Hello and welcome to Just Make the Thing, a podcast for people who want to start a thing and keep on making it. My name is Claire Tonti and I'm your host, and this week I'm joined by my lawyer, yoga instructing friend, Chanel Luchev. A few events have happened over the last couple of weeks that have reminded me again of the tough road that we face when we lose someone we love, and also that idea of letting go, of coping when life goes in a different direction, of finding what it is that we want to do, and also letting go maybe of other things that we can't achieve. And so today I wanted to talk with Chanel about loss and grief and how to get through the other side. On with the show.
Anyway, we're here. Hello, Chanel.
Hi, Claire.
Hello. Thanks for coming over to my house on a Sunday.
Yeah, no problems.
We're recording. We're staring at my son's birthday tent.
I was trying to figure out what that thing was.
Yeah, we bought him a birthday tent for $20 from Bunnings.
Oh, very nice.
And it's really great value for money. Kids love little tent things where they can hide away.
They do, don't they? When my niece was little, she used to come to my house and find things to make forts out of.
Correct.
Like one day I came out of the shower and she'd put my two dining room chairs together and two yoga mats over the top of them, and she's just sitting in underneath this little makeshift fort she'd made. I'm like, are you right there? She's like, yeah, yeah. I've just made a little shelter for myself. I'm like, all right, cool.
You know what I think that is? You just don't get any privacy as a kid. You don't get to choose your own house or room or abode.
That's true.
So make your own. Yeah. You know, we're just doing it as adults, but on a big scale.
Yes.
With more permanency and taxation.
Yeah. And stress. But yes,
oh,
correct.
Man. Yeah, exactly. No, thoughts are the best. And you get to kind of squirrel away. I did try to crawl through that tunnel because there's two tents connected by like a bright green tunnel.
Well done.
The tunnel is not designed for 33-year-old women, let me tell you that. But 3-year-olds love it.
Yes.
It was very fun.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. So today on Just Make the Thing, I wanted to talk to you actually about grief.
Yes.
And letting go.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of a really big topic and kind of timely for me and sort of my friendship circle. There's a few things that have happened, and one in particular, and one of my friends just going through a really tough time with grief and loss. And yeah, so I wanted to talk about that.
Okay. No, it's a good idea.
I think
it happens in life, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Well, I think that one of the things that it struck me while I've been thinking a lot about this, about how we have to let go of things, because I lost my dad, becoming on 4 years this week, actually. It's his anniversary this week. And even though he was sick for quite a long time, it was still a very big shock when it actually happened, because
sure.
he was well and we thought he was going to come home, and we'd sort of made arrangements at the house for it to happen. And so when it happens like that, it makes you really think about life and the fragility of it.
Yeah.
And I think how much things can change so quickly. And so if there are things that you want to do or things you want to say to people, you just got to do them, because you really don't know how long you've got.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that entirely. It definitely gives you a different perspective, doesn't it? And it makes all of the arbitrary stuff that you fuss about during the day seem like such nonsense.
Yeah, or trivial and not so important on the grand scheme of things. I know, like, oh, I haven't got to the vacuuming or something, you know, or, yeah, my house is a mess, or I wish I folded my sheets better or something. Work is stressful.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think even things that are seemingly, like, in the everyday life considered to be quite serious, then when there is, like, a sudden loss, like a death in the family or you know, possibly even like a miscarriage or something sad, terribly sad, puts all the things that you stress about into perspective, and even things like, I really wish my life was a particular way because if it was, I'd be happier. It's like, well, you need to also appreciate the people that are there for you at the time, you know, and it's all very well and good for me to say this because tomorrow I'll be like complaining about something completely nonsensical.
I don't think our brains can actually stay in that perpetual state.
No.
I'm grateful for every moment I have in our whole life, or we would just get exhausted.
Totally.
I do think there is something in just leaning into the joy of the moments that you have each day that are lovely. Like, I know I sat in the garden today eating banana pancakes with my 3-year-old who was telling me about some animals and something that he liked, and I was just sitting there just looking at my garden and thinking, this is life. Like, this kind of little stuff is actually the most important stuff. And I was actually speaking to someone else this week who's sort of been diagnosed with an illness, and she was saying that they don't know how long she's got, and so she really has to watch what she eats and do a lot of things that might seem really annoying, like she can't eat carbohydrates and dairy, and she's trying to eat organically, and she has to sort of steer clear of certain starches and take all this medication. And but she said that she's, because of that, it's made her really go, well, I don't know how much time I've got left, so each day I'm going to spend doing things or thinking about things or, you know, talking to the people that I love and trying to stay as present as I can, because there's, I think, a lot of our thought loops that we go into are either embarrassing worries about what we did in the past. Like, oh God, I can't believe I said that. Oh my God, that thing that happened 20 years ago, that I, that person must not like me now, or, you know, I can't believe. And you know, those kind of cringe moments, often our brains go back to those cringe moments. Or conversely, we're thinking about all the things we haven't done yet and all the things we wish
worries
we
about
were.
The future.
Worries about the future and whether you're going to end up with a life that you envisioned and all that kind of stuff, where really all we have, she was saying, is today. And right now.
100%. And the reality is, the stuff that you reflect back on that is not necessarily your proudest or finest moment in life is never actually what happened as you recall it. Do you know what I mean? Like, in your mind, you're like, it was the most tragic and horrible situation ever. And perhaps for you at the time, like, perhaps for you, it may have felt that way, but to any other observer, it probably wasn't. Or, you know, especially in terms of like when you embarrass yourself or you say things that you don't mean, you're assuming that everyone thinks the same way that you
do.
Yeah. So trying to reflecting back and looking at a moment and going, oh God, that was awful, I'm so embarrassed. Well, yeah, that's fine. You can be, but don't beat yourself up about
it. Yeah, because that's the thing, isn't it? Luke McGregor said that to me, that no, everyone is the hero of their own story.
Correct.
And so everyone is mostly still thinking about their own stuff rather than other people's. Like, he said that he used to have this real phobia of going out by himself. And so he forced himself to do it. He'd go and sit in a bar and have a beer on his own. And he realized once he did that, that like everybody else is just thinking about their own stuff. No one's even looking at you, mate. You know, I mean, maybe now they would be, because he's, depending on where he went, because obviously people admire the work that he does, but even then it's, no one's kind of thinking about that. It's like when you go to a party and you're so worried about you, what you look like, but everybody else is thinking about their own stuff. And in a way that's kind of freeing, I think. So it just made me think, actually, just got watching my friend go through something really, really horrific, and then also, you know, traumatic, and then what my family's been through over the last 4 years, and the grief and how different people have experienced it in different ways, and how for some of my family, for instance, I think they experienced grief in delay, and for me it was quite immediate at the time. And then also the fallout that happens once you've experienced grief, and how you can be trotting along through your life and everything seems quite fine now, and then you can be absolutely floored and be taken right back to that feeling that you had when it first happened.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. And I just often think the world is so much bigger and more magic than we understand.
Absolutely.
Like, I've often felt my dad with me in different situations, and I don't know, it just makes me curious and makes me wonder about the world and what else is out there and what we don't understand about life, and also how the finality of it, like, we are going to die. We all are. well, and I was telling this to James, and he's like, man, you're really morbid. People think you're a cheerful person. You are one of the most morbid people I know.
And I said, we're all going to die. Everybody will.
And I sat on the couch last night, like, really sobbing at James. I was like, you're going to die one day, and we're not going to be together anymore. And maybe I'll die, and then our little son will be by himself, and it's all. And he's like, yeah, but I'm here now. Do you want to watch some Netflix? And I think that was the thing. It just kind of hit home to me that you kind of have to hold those two big ideas in your head that, yes, we are all going to die eventually. Our lives are not forever. They're not permanent. Everyone in our life is fragile. Life can change in the blink of an eye. And I know, I'm sure there are people living in all kinds of situations in Syria, in, you know, I don't know, in Thailand, on in little islands on the Pacific that are, you know, covered in water, like that their lives are, they see that fragility more than we do.
Yeah.
But they are. Our lives can change in a split second. So if there are things that you want to do or say or make or create, it really is about trying to do that. Now and not putting pressure on me, you're going to die, so make it now make it good. But just that you've got to free yourself from your own expectations and perfectionism.
And
all of that stuff, so you can just keep, you know, making stuff, because I think we're happiest when we are, and try and let go of that stuck feeling, because, you know, otherwise your life passes you by.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I completely agree. I mean, it is one of those things, isn't it, that grief can sometimes create, like can breed creativity, because people finally realize, oh, as you say, I'm going to die one day, so what am I waiting for? Mm. So in some ways it's kind of, it can be a positive thing. Mm. It's kind of sad that for some people it takes that for them to, you know,
to change
their
life. I know. I just finished reading Any Ordinary Day by Lee Sales.
Oh, I had a friend that just finished that. She said it was fantastic.
It is. It's very heavy going. Mm. And I think if you've been through something newly traumatic, it's probably a bit hard to read.
Yep.
But one thing that I took from it, so Lee Sales, if for those who aren't sort of based in Australia, is a really famous, well-respected journalist. She does a 7:30 report, which is a weekly, daily news show, and she's the host, but she also is an incredible interviewer, and she also hosts the podcast Chat 10 Looks 3, which is an incredible show.
It's hilarious, and her and Annabelle Crabb do it.
Oh,
and
it's so great.
She has a really beautiful singing voice.
She
as
does.
Well.
She's very, like, funny and a bit cabaret.
Yeah.
She loves it. And anyway, that show has a lot of wonderful recommendations for food and books and things to watch and pop culture, and it's just gorgeous. And their friendship is delightful.
Yeah.
So, and they have a great Facebook group too, Chat 10 Looks 3, to join. So that's a recommendation too. But her book is all about that. She had some really traumatic things happen to her. The birth of her son was really traumatic, and she had, you know, her marriage broke down and a whole lot of big things happened. And so this kind of inspired her to go and interview people who'd been through kind of the worst imaginable tragedies and grief, like people who were involved in the Link Cafe siege, which was when a gunman took over a cafe in Sydney, and it was sort of a big terrorist attack, and he murdered people. It was a whole traumatic thing. And then, or she went and interviewed Stuart Diver, who was the guy that got stuck under in Threadboat.
Oh, yeah. There was like a mudslide or a landslide, it was. He was trapped in there.
Yeah, with his wife in their hotel room, and his wife drowned next to him in the bed.
Gosh.
I know. So her, and he was, it was miraculous that he survived.
Yeah.
Like they found him under the rubble. It was just this like incredible external story. And then his second wife died of cancer not long ago. So he's had, you know, very traumatic. And, you know, even people in the Port Arthur massacre, and even I've been thinking about the people who were affected by the shooting in Pittsburgh in the synagogue recently. You know, so she went and interviewed people who'd been affected by mass shootings, and the overarching thing, weirdly, was this sense of hope that seemed to come out of the stories, and this idea of post-traumatic growth, which was that not immediately, and it doesn't happen for everyone, but if you've got a particular mindset, you can really grow through and kind of have a deeper, wider, more compassionate, empathetic perspective on life.
Yeah.
And you actually kind of become, I guess for want of a better phrase, a better person.
Yeah.
From going through those events. And not always, it doesn't happen for everybody. Some people can be traumatized forever.
Yeah, I was going to say it can also have the adverse effects on people where they start to feel less trusting or more cynical of the world or that can happen too. It can be a consequence.
Yeah.
I mean, ideally it would be good to be able to grow and be more positive and identify the things that you think are missing in your life and like go after them, I guess.
Yeah. But it doesn't always happen.
It doesn't always happen for everybody that way. Yeah. No.
But they did say, she said in this book that the difference was friendships often.
Oh,
and connection.
Nice.
I know, in community of people having friends around and how deeply connected they were in their community and then what actions they kind of took after the event to try and make a positive change, whether it was starting a foundation or, I don't know, talking to people of victims who've been through the same thing or sharing their story or writing a book or some kind of creative output. And it, exactly what you were going back to, it made me think that I think human beings process the world by creating stuff. And I know when this thing happened to my friend, I made it this, like, I just had this thing in my head that I needed to make a chocolate cake, like a chocolate buttercream cake, and that would make everything better. And so I'm like frantically making this chocolate cake at like 11 o'clock at night, and I finished it. And James, and I was sort of saying, can I take it over now? And he's like, mate, is this like 11? I don't think this is the right time. So anyway, I took it over the next day and I wrote a funny note. And that was really, that really came from Lee Sale's book as well, because she said often what happens in really traumatic times, people stay away because they don't want to intrude on someone's pain and grief, and they think they'll be a nuisance, and they, or they're worried that they won't say the right thing and that they'll upset the person. And what she said, what all these people said to her who'd been through traumatic things, is actually what helped them the most was having people turn up for them and be with them.
Yeah.
And that to me was such a light bulb moment, because I think I've often been guilty of that, of sending a text or something and then being like, well, they don't need, I shouldn't intrude, I shouldn't be there. And actually what she said is, don't ask, because people will say, no, I don't need anything, don't worry, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So don't ask, just turn up. And if you say the wrong thing, you can't make it, literally, they're going through the worst thing they've ever been through. By you saying something stupid, you can't make it worse.
Yeah.
But being there with them through it is the best thing you could do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think interestingly, so my group of girlfriends from high school, over 50% of them, probably more, definitely over 50% of them have lost either one parent or both parents.
Wow.
Most of them, and at quite a young age, a sort of late teens, sort of early 20s, and a lot of them to cancer, so quite sort of slow and painful losses. And it's interesting because the wonderful thing is, like, my girlfriends who have all sort of gone through a similar experience kind of know exactly what to do at the time sort of thing. They kind of just swing into action for each other. And then sort of after maybe the third or fourth parent had passed away, we were like, okay, who's doing the flowers? Who was organising the food? Who's going around to see them? Who's going to drop off the card? You know, and we kind of organised a system, which is a little bit worrying. We were so prepared by the time we got to, like, you know, friend number six or something. But it's kind of like, you really do, and you do appreciate all those things when they do happen, even if you don't sort of have the presence of mind to be able to communicate it. It's like, even just sort of knowing that someone's around and thinking about you and can make a big difference. Yeah.
Completely. And
Yeah.
And I guess that's something that did strike me with the friendship group with us, this girl that's going through this. Yeah, everyone had different roles that they were comfortable playing.
Yeah.
You know, some of us have lost parents, so we sort of had perspectives on it. And unfortunately, unless something strange happens, everyone's going to go through that.
Yeah.
And we're starting to hit an age where it's more likely, which, God, is terrifying.
Yeah. Yep.
Scary as. But it's something that when you've gone through it, and I think that was the thing, because I'd been through it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe my friend felt connected with me and my experience in that way. So she knew that I wouldn't be scared about, you know, different things because I'd been there and been in that situation. And it is, it's sort of, I guess it must be that similar feeling with war veterans have, you know, or support groups with addicts or anyone who's been through something, just talking to people who've been through something similar, you feel kind of bonded. You feel like...
It's like you're not alone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you can kind of share in something, some knowledge. And, yeah, exactly that. Isn't it so beautiful, that sort of rallying of friends and support?
Oh, yeah.
And food. Food is the other thing. If you can't actually turn up with food and leave.
Yeah.
Like even just dropping it at the doorstep.
I'm sorry for everything. Here is a lasagna. Now I'm going to go.
I know. I did this thing. Lisa sort of talked about it in her book, and so did Animal Crab, and then I did it. And it was so – I'm so glad I did that. On the chocolate cake, I wrote a silly message about, I don't know, eat in case of emergency and life is total shit or something in big black marker. And, you know, that kind of thing. And something that makes people laugh and having that – I'm so glad I did it, and being able to have food that they can share, I think there's something lovely, especially when someone's going through something like that in a hospital setting where you just don't eat. Like I remember with my dad, you would just spend so long, like weeks on end in that hospital. And, you know, there's only so much cafeteria food can handle.
It's the worst, isn't it?
It is. And when you're churning, your stomach is churning and you're exhausted and you're not sleeping properly, you end up eating chips and chocolate a lot. And so having something with vegetables in it or something homemade. So I read something else that, like, just chopped up veggies, like raw carrot sticks and stuff, is something too, because often everyone's sitting around in waiting rooms and you need snacky food that isn't more Doritos or vending machine food. So I just thought that, and I just wanted to pass that on to listeners of our show, because I know people go through all kinds of things in life, and I feel like Lee Sales gave me a real gift in her book. And like your friends have given your friendship group that gift of knowledge of what to do.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of healing, and it's that whole thing, isn't it, where if you can do something for someone else, it also, the joy that you can get from that back is also wonderful.
Absolutely.
Kind of
healing. I actually wanted to ask you, in terms of grieving and having lost sort of a parent at the same time as being a new parent, how did you, because I had this conversation with a friend during the week. She's like, I feel like I'm in this weird in-between stage, because I've got parents who are getting older, quite a bit older, and they're, you know, a bit sickly, so not necessarily well, and sort of I am worried about their health and how long they'll be around for. And I'm also now contemplating having kids and the idea of being this person in the middle that is like the parent to a small child that constantly needs my attention and help, but also the daughter to parents who are elderly that are going to also need my constant care and help. Did you ever feel like there was that you were being stretched or pulled in both directions at once? And how did you manage that? Like, I don't know. I find it quite impressive. I had a friend who actually horribly, she's an amazing, amazing woman. She gave birth to her first daughter on the day that her mum died.
Oh my God, I remember. Yeah.
You know, we were sort of around post the death of her mum, but it took a really long time for her to actually to be able to tell us the story of her labour. So it was kind of like she had this grief, and she was also, I think she might have also been the administrator of the estate. So she was having to kind of deal with the loss of her mum and then all of the stuff that comes along with that.
There's a lot of admin.
Yeah.
That's what you don't expect.
Yeah. And then also it was kind of like that had to be dealt with, and then she could kind of have an opportunity to actually embrace
motherhood a little bit. It was like a 6 month delay, legitimately. Mm. Like it was like it took a long time for us to even hear the story of like how she, you know, you hear how someone goes into labor and what happens.
Yeah,
we didn't get any, so we didn't hear any of that information because obviously she had other things on her mind. So sorry, going back to the question. How did you cope when you were?
So my dad passed away kind of probably a couple of months before I became pregnant.
Right, okay.
And then I had our son, obviously after that.
Yeah.
So I remember vividly the first anniversary of my dad's death. Mm-hmm. I had a newborn who probably a week old.
Right.
So I vividly remember, and we had a big mass and a ceremony on the anniversary. And I remember doing a reading and I had just come out of hospital and I had this newborn and it was this whole thing.
Mm.
So, and I guess the other side of it is that you want to support the people you love in your life, like my mum.
Yeah.
So I did feel very stretched in that way because I was trying to support my mum and my family but also navigate this whole having a newborn, and I'd had quite a traumatic birth and little one's health wasn't great either. So there was sort of a lot of complications around that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started the business all at the same time.
Oh my goodness.
So I was sort of like being pulled in 1,000 directions, which is probably why I fell on my face last year.
Okay.
Around a similar time to this year. So
sure.
I guess my answer is that I have this incredible husband and an incredible family through him as well, mm-hmm. another sort of second family, and they were so amazing, his family, and my mum too was so supportive in my family. But having him, I reckon I relied a lot on my husband hugely to get me through that. And you just, I think in hindsight, more self-care would have been smart.
Sure.
When I don't know how you do that. But you just kind of do. I think that's what, like, I'm sure women who have 4 kids and jobs and no partners and or whatever it is that happens to them, you do just have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Like you do just have to focus on who needs you now in that moment.
Yeah,
and you don't always get it right and forgive yourself. That was the other thing. I had to kind of forgive myself when I needed to grieve and I wasn't like as great a mother as I could have been or I wasn't there for my mum in the same way that I should have been or didn't get to friends' birthdays and things that I wish that I had, you know, stuff like that, or I missed things. I remember one time a good friend came over to see the baby and I hadn't got to her wedding because I had to go into hospital just before I gave birth for other health reasons for our little guy. And I didn't get to her wedding. I was supposed to sing at her wedding and then she was coming around. I was supposed to give her wedding present and I just hadn't wrapped it. It was still in the boot of the car and I was asleep. So because we hadn't slept in like 2 weeks or something and she got to the door and I just was like the worst friend because I was asleep when she turned up and then I'm like writing her card for her with her present there and just having to sort of forgive myself and say, well, I'm just not, you just can't be everything to everyone.
Yeah, right.
You just have to prioritize. Yeah. I don't know.
That's a very good answer.
Is that a good answer?
Sort of sensible,
Yeah, you just can't do everything.
Yeah.
That's what I've come to terms with, that you can't be everything to everyone all of the time. And if you lean in one direction for one group of friends, then you have to lean out in another way.
Yeah.
And then maybe you have to lean back in another direction. But having a partner who's really supportive and also having lovely friends as well around who are supportive too, that really helps as well, having people to talk to about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And actually having friends just be around, that goes back to that thing that I was saying that Lee Sales said. Something I've learned more recently, that showing up for people, whether or not you're wearing the best outfit or looking the best or on time, if you're there and you just see them, even if it's quantity time is actually sometimes better than quality time.
Yeah, yep.
Just being there. Like we've got this group of friends, we catch up every week for dinner and at someone's house or at a restaurant or somewhere, And it's that consistency of seeing each other has meant that when the shit hits the fan, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like us with this podcast. Yeah. Because like, you see each other so regularly.
Yeah.
You just, you kind of are checking in and you're seeing people at different points when they're feeling like exhausted or yep. when something massive happens, you know where they're at.
Yep.
So that's also something I've learned that, yeah, you've and also, and this is a long answer.
No, this is good.
Okay. Yeah. The other thing I've learned, and I think my friend told me about this today, taught me this too, watching her go through what she's going through, because I don't think when I grew up we were very good at this, asking for help.
Yep. Yep. Like
actually saying, and when people say to you, what do you need? Not saying, don't worry, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But actually saying, I need this.
Yeah. It's not a sign of vulnerability or weakness.
And
or,
you're not putting people out.
Yeah. Because they want to. And the thing is, they want to be there. And they also feel like they're.
Intrigued.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Because I think also people don't know what to do. And people want. And the other thing I saw was that ability to accept kindness.
Yeah.
I find that really difficult. Like I find it easier to be kind to someone, this can sound weird, than to accept someone being kind to me. Like I feel like I'm putting them out and it makes me stressed.
No, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like people do nice things and you don't know how to react.
Yeah. You're like, thank you. Do I need to now reciprocate with something grander? So I feel like we're on equal, like an equal playing field or something. Yeah.
Whereas it is actually really lovely for you to accept people's kindness and let them do things for you and not feel immediately that in that moment when you're upset and they're helping you that you should be baking them something. Just that you can do that later and reciprocate later. But
there'll be time for cake, for chocolate cake at some point in time. Yeah.
Correct. But you just accept kindness and it actually is a lovely thing. So another of my friends was diagnosed, Jamila Risby, who I interviewed actually in that, which is a great podcast episode to go back and listen to. But she was diagnosed with a tumour in her brain and the second time around it came back. So she just had another lot of surgery and I've never happened to before. I thought it was so brilliant. When I emailed and just said, hey, how are you going? Do you need anything? Do you want to catch up or something while you're on break? She sent me like a timetabled schedule of all of her days that she wanted to see people. And she just said, put your name down where you can. Oh. Multiple catch-ups is fine. One catch-up when I'm not around is fine. Just let me know.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know. And I thought, okay. So it's actually okay to say to people, no, bloody turn up. I need you.
Yeah.
Not, don't worry, I'm fine, which is what I did when my teeth chattered. I was sort of just like, no, I'm fine, everyone, don't worry.
Yeah.
Whereas I would have loved to just hang out with my teeth in my face. I mean, I would have loved it. I think everyone else would have been a bit terrified. Anyway, so that's my lesson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How do you sort of feel about that idea of your parents getting older?
So interestingly, the other day, because my mum's got the most amazing genetics in that she like never gets sick or never is unhealthy. So I feel like she'll just live forever. I suspect she'll probably just outlive me. I will pass away at the age of whenever, 80, 90, and my mother will be like 150 and still alive. Whereas my dad's genetics, not so great. He has a whole bunch of sort of debilitating conditions, arthritis and gout and whatnot, which is not great and has affected him in the long term for quite a long time. And he does have a lot of sort of medical care sort of that happens intermittently throughout the year. So he'll definitely, you know, there'll be a trip to hospital at some point in time in the year and some of them are not so serious, some of them are more serious. And I was saying to my girlfriend, I'm just so worried because my dad is also retired and when he is in good health, which is like, I mean, which is most of the time really, he's just so like jovial and happy and great to be around and he'll kind of like, he'll drive all the way from Berwick, which is where he lives, which is like a good hour and a bit from my place all the way up to see me and he's, you know, he's retired so he's got the time, but it also means he's lost the concept of what it means to work a full-time job. So I'll often get phone calls at like 11:30 on a Tuesday. You're like, hi, are you at work? I'm like, yeah, I'm still at work. I'm always at work on a Tuesday during the day and a Monday and a Wednesday, by the way, and Thursday and Friday too. It's kind of like that's how full-time work works. And I think, I don't know, and this I shouldn't speak so generally, but I get the sense that parents often don't think that adult children have proper jobs, which is why they call them. They're like, now I want to have a conversation with you about something that is not urgent.
And they don't see you as a professional in the same way that they were, maybe.
Like, can't you take me to the shops? No, not today.
No, I'm a lawyer in a really important job and they're paying me to be at this job where I was
I'm so sorry to hear about, you know, Auntie so-and-so's is not doing well, but could we maybe chat about it after 5 p.m. when, when I'm finished at work? You know, you want to give them the time, right? So correct. I do understand that. But I think part of me has this nervousness or like a level of anxiousness or fear that because I do look at, I love my parents. They're wonderful people. But you can't help, I think, in any relationship. Sometimes you get frustrated, like, please don't ring me at 11:30 in the morning on Tuesday.
Correct.
I'm right in the middle of drafting something right now. I need to get it finished. I have a deadline. And, like, I feel like sometimes I'm a bit more cursed than I should be. And then then you get the guilt, like as the daughter or son, you're sort of like, well, now I was just an asshole to my parents, so I'm gonna have to ring them back and say sorry, or be super nice to compensate, or like as I said before, do something grandiose, like I'm sorry I was rude, but can you please come over for like a croque and bouche and like and like some kind
and
of
a gourmet degustation at my house. Yes, all day Saturday when all I want to do is sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct. Yeah, it's like a constant juggling act. And that's the thing I was saying to you before too about that idea that like you can't hold the idea that everyone is going to die eventually in your head forever, or you would only ever see people and be like, how is everything? Are you okay? How's your health?
Yeah.
Let's all always just be nice to each other forever and not say what we really mean. All of that stuff. I know. It's complex.
So for me, the one thing is like I do have a bit of anxiousness that like one day I will get a phone call and it won't be a good phone call.
Mm.
So and I don't know whether it's – I mean it's as you said, not great to have in the back of your mind that your parents might die.
No.
Exactly. But at the same time, like it is a constant reminder to me to sort of be patient and as attentive as I have the capacity to do at the time, because you never know what could happen, right? There's this tension between giving of yourself to the extent that you can without depleting your own resources, because then you just get really angry and sad and sit on the floor and you kind of weep or like complain to your partner who has to hear it all.
Yeah, and that's not healthy either, and it's not really like – If that's kind of wasting the life that we do have and the joy that we do have and the people that we do have when we have them, you know. So,
exactly.
You have to find a balance in all of it and, keep everything in perspective, I guess.
I mean, I think I have mentioned obviously I'm quite fortunate my parents are both still here and, you know, relatively healthy. But I have lost a cousin who was relatively close to and grew up with. So I spent a lot of time with him as a child, which was quite sudden and tragic and definitely made me – I was quite young. I would have been maybe 21 or 20 years old. Definitely made me contemplate the meaning of life, you know. And then also there's been grandparents who I've been quite close to who I've lost and really, I mean, like really weren't that old when they passed away. So – upon reflection now, I think not that I really wish I could have spent more time with them, because at 21, 22, it's really hard to appreciate them as human beings, on that level.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't, because you're still coming out of that teenage ego,
trying to figure out who you are as a person and what you like and what your values are, which realistically should be different from your grandparents because it was a different time, you know, like...
Yeah.
It would be strange if you felt exactly the same way about the world that your parents or even your grandma, even your parents felt when they were coming up in the world. So, but upon reflection now, like the one thing I do feel like I've missed out on is getting to know them as a person and understanding their struggles as a young person or a young parent, or learning about their mistakes and how they manage them.
Yeah.
So I'm finding now as I'm getting older, I'm like, when I speak to other people's parents or other people's grandparents, I'm like, tell me about your history, including my grandmother-in-law, who's like amazing and has had this incredibly difficult life. I think I've mentioned before, so Goran's, if you can't tell from his name, he's from Croatia. His family's from Croatia. So I don't even know. I know that his grandmother has an actual name, but we all just call her Barka, which means grandmother, right? So that's her name. It's always been her name. I wouldn't even know how to probably pronounce her name or know, even know her surname. I just wouldn't. And so the last, maybe even just the last year, we've been hanging out a little bit. And like a little while ago, she taught me how to make her soup, which was really nice. Like she kind of got to pass on like part of her traditions to me. And I've talked to her about her, you know, first loves. And I talked to her about, we always talk about house prices because that's always very topical in Australia.
It is very topical, yeah.
And talk about family and relationships, and, you know, she's quite progressive in the way that she thinks as well, which I think makes it easier. But, you know, learning about the difficulties they encounter and realising that we're all just human beings in this one space, trying to figure out how to be grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, you did the thing.
Yeah, I did. Oh my god, that thing. I'm not.
No, I love it. I love it. I'm like, yes. I click, click. Claire and I just had a click moment.
Yeah.
What does Oprah call them? An aha.
Aha moment. A tweetable tweet. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
Oh god, I listen too much Oprah.
Yeah, I know. It is when you. It's something that happens, and maybe it doesn't happen until your 30s or wherever, where a penny drops and you go, oh, you're not a different species.
Yep.
You're not part of the furniture or there just because you've always been there. That's that notion that your parents and grandparents and elderly people are not real people.
Yeah.
Like I think as teenagers, because you can't, your brain can't sort of wrap its head around the fact that you at 16 will eventually be 76.
Yeah.
You can't understand that, and I feel like it's only when I've hit my 30s that I've really started maybe becoming a parent to you. But I just think getting older, you suddenly go, oh, it's not like they're different people.
Yeah. No,
they're
I mean, I think you're right. I think it is, like, part of it would be parenting, but I think part of it's just aging.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, so people do get grey hairs at some point in time.
Yeah. And by people, I mean me.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I mean, I actually don't have any grey hairs, unlike my husband, who's very grey, the poor old goat man. Yeah, I know, but that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's, I know, life, right, Chanel?
Life.
It's been a very...
Life exclamation mark.
Yeah.
Or maybe life will stop, I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure of the punctuation right now.
No, me neither, but, you know. You've been listening to a podcast called Just Make the Thing with me, Claire Tonti, and with Chanel Luchev. For more information on this podcast, you can follow us on Instagram at Claire Tonti or on Twitter at Mrs. Sunday Movies. You can also go to our website, planetbroadcasting.com, where we have lots of other podcasts just like this one. You can follow the link in the show notes for Bend Yoga Melbourne, which is Chanel's yoga teaching instructing business. And if you are struggling out there for whatever reason, struggling to let go, struggling with the loss of someone that you love, I'll put a link to Lifeline in the show notes below as well. And there's other numbers you can call throughout your country. Always reach out for help if and when you need it. That's my advice for this week. Okay, have a wonderful week. Stay with your friends. Stay by them, stay with them, tell the people you love that you love them, bake them things and bring them food if you don't know what else to say. That's my takeaway from this week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.